Well, it did, and so he came on the court in the end of 73, or mm-hmm. Let me see here what it says in the official list. Fitzgerald shows he came on in 74, so it must have been that Brennan resigned so that his resignation would be effective at the end of 73, and John Fitzgerald came on at the start of 74.
Yes, yeah, I guess that's great.
Now, one of the things that is pertinent here, and I think goes into the thread of your whole tenure, and you look at 16 years on the court, he had to almost immediately start thinking about holding his seat by going through the electoral process.
Right.
And I have talked to him, and he likes to recall that he turned in his state car.
Yes.
And he announced with a flourish that he would accept no lawyer contributions.
Yeah.
And his troubles were mounting.
Oh, yes.
What do you remember, though, about his campaign in 74? He and Thomas Matthew Kavanaugh were both on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. That year. Well,
weren't there some awkwardnesses in this, and some frictions that resulted?
To some extent, because Thomas M. Kavanaugh was a very active Democrat before he became Justice of the Supreme Court, and he never really got over that. And I think Tom was very fond of John Fitzgerald personally, but I think his lifelong Democratic biases, anything that affected the political process, Thomas M. Kavanaugh felt should be decided on the only practical and available way of doing it, and that was by a partisan political process. And I think Tom would have been content, totally content, to have John Fitzgerald be successful in the election. But I think he felt he owed an obligation from his partisan political upbringing to support the nominee of the Democrats who would be nominating somebody to run against him. I really don't remember too many of the details of the campaign. I know I had felt for a long time, and told Tom, told everybody that was foolish enough to listen to me, that in my view, the only proper way for a judicial candidate running in the state of Michigan, which constitutionally has to be a nonpartisan thing, was to be nonpartisan. And that I didn't think it appropriate for a sitting judge to endorse the candidacy for a judicial office of any other person. Now, the Code of Ethics does not forbid that. Under the Code of Ethics, a judge is free to support the candidacy of other nonpartisan candidates. I never felt it appropriate to do that. And consequently, I never publicly supported the candidacy of anybody running for judge. Privately, I was active. And I was active in support of John Fitzgerald's reelection. And I was active in my support of Thomas M. Kavanaugh's reelection. But that was a private thing, not publicly.
And these people that you referred to by name were both sitting members of your court and colleagues of yours that you saw every day and worked with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I felt it inappropriate to publicly endorse their candidacy. And so I never did. Privately, I supported them both and worked as best I could for their election.
Now, the problem that arose, though, was with the nomination of the other Democratic candidate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that turned out to be Blair Moody,
right,
a sitting circuit judge in the city of Detroit in Wayne County, and
right,
the son of a former United States senator and a dear friend of one of your colleagues, another one.
And a dear friend of mine.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Blair Moody was a dear friend. And Blair Moody's father and my father both were reporters on the Detroit News at the same time, and they were very close friends. Mm-hmm. And I thought the world and all of Senator Moody. And Blair and I became better acquainted later on. I didn't know him that well at that time, but I certainly had nothing against him. And my support of John didn't indicate it that I didn't love Blair.